Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our sermon text this morning is 1 Kings 19, 9 to 21, the whole show, the whole thing. I know, sometimes I can preach on three words, and sometimes it's a whole chapter. Who knows? As we consider it, I want you to keep in mind what God said to the frightened Elijah, the frightened Elijah, not the mighty, powerful, awesome Elijah that we all know, the frightened guy, the snowflake Elijah. I will leave 7,000 in Israel, God said, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. 1 Kings 19, 18. Keep that in mind as a key text. Christ has promised the same thing to each of you. Christ's crucifixion, his death, and then his resurrection is his promise to you and to me that he will sustain a remnant, his remnant of faithful believers, even in our day. There are others like you, Christians. Those who have not bowed or kissed Baal, the false god. Even in dark days where everyone seems to be against the faithful teachings of Scripture, the uncompromising believer remains. Not unloving, but uncompromising on what is true. God continues to set up his outposts of truth where his word is preached faithfully. And baptism and the Lord's Supper are administered rightly according to that faithfully preached word. Christ has built his church. And as he told Peter in Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Period. This is what we proclaim. No wonder that in our epistle reading, Peter, the same guy who Jesus said that to, Peter says, now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Being a Christian isn't putting on a bulletproof vest. It's not that everything is going to smell like roses. It's not that you're going to live under a colorful rainbow all the days of your life. Go somewhere else for that. You come here to suffer. You come here to figure out how to endure suffering. Because even if you should suffer, and you will suffer for Christ's sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, Peter says, the world, the unbelievers, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3, 13 to 15. And if you're wondering what that defense is that you should always have ready on the quick draw, what you should say to people who want to know why you have hope, it's right there. Simply say, the resurrection of Christ. That is your reason. That is your hope. That is why you believe. Because he got up from the grave. And so will you. Who is there to harm you if that is your reality? At the beginning of the first Kings, reading, Elijah is holed up in a cave, cowering. You know why? When Ahab, the king of Israel, introduced Israel to the false gods, the Baals, it swept through the nation like wildfire. Almost everyone was worshiping the Baals, the Phoenician sun god. False gods. It wasn't popular to be faithful to Yahweh. Yahweh is God's given name, his proper name. Jesus, Joshua, actually means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is our Lord's name. It wasn't popular to be a believer in Yahweh. His prophets were being killed. It was so unpopular. Elijah was one of Yahweh's faithful prophets, and he didn't just smile and nod as his neighbors continued to live in sin, letting them live their lie? No, he had a heart. He had a heart. So he spoke the truth out of love for them, even though it was hard for them to hear his words, and even though it meant he was endangering his own life. He was jealous for the Lord. And for this, he was considered a troublemaker. But he held his ground against his accusers, standing on Scripture alone, and he refused to be canceled. He said to Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel. I haven't, but you have. Because you are the one who has abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed after the Baals." 1 Kings 18:18. "It's not me, guy. It's you." This resulted in a standoff between Elijah and a large crowd of Baal's prophets. 450 of them rallied on Mount Carmel to protest against the so-called troublemaker. With loud cries, the mob of unbelievers raved on past midday, flexing their unbelief in the one true God, parading around as if he wasn't real. However, God won the contest, and the false prophets, they were slaughtered. The Lord doesn't mess around. He will not be mocked. But the devil is relentless. And when Ahab told his wife Jezebel that Elijah stood up against the prophets of the false gods, she vowed to kill Elijah just as his God had killed them. And then when Elijah heard this, our mighty man of the Lord, he was afraid. And he arose and he ran for his life. Standing up against 450 men with swords that were hurting themselves, blood was everywhere. It was a violent scene, and yet he couldn't even stand up against Jezebel. Weird. But this woman exercised much influence over Israel. Eventually, cowardly, he found himself in a safe space, away from the strong influence of the foreign woman who had corrupted his people. And so the Lord comes to him and asks, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you in this cave?" And the prophet replies, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars, and they've killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, just me, am left. And now they seek my life. They seek to take it away." 1 Kings 19:9 and 10. See, Elijah thought Jezebel could do more to corrupt the population of Israel, given her position of influence, than he could to reform them to the ways of Yahweh. After all, she had public opinion on her side. How easily she could turn his neighbors against him. The people cowed to her ways, and if any of them complained against her, that's all they did. They just complained. And so they were complicit in her sins against God, their silence making them guilty of all those who went astray. Fear seized Elijah's heart, and he fled to that cave. He fled to Mount Horeb, aka Mount Sinai, the same place where Moses had received the Ten Commandments from God 700 years earlier, when the Almighty appeared to him with fire and with smoke and an earthquake. God's voice boomed like thunder in the days of Moses. Perhaps that's why he went there, to find the strength of his God, to find the one who would fight for him against the powerful Jezebel. But no thundering voice for Elijah. God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the smoke. He was not in the fire. There was these things. But God came to Elijah in a slow, quiet whisper. And this was the lesson for Elijah. This is the lesson for us today, for you. It doesn't take a prophet to tell you that the false gods, the Baals, have been introduced to your neighbors here in 2021, Ferndale, California. You don't need an Old Testament prophet to tell you that our entire country, yes, even our county and our dearest Cream City, has been seized by the Baals. You know it. It's there in front of you. You can see it with your own eyes. It's nothing new. It's been happening for decades, generations now. The scriptures haven't changed, though. God hasn't changed. Our world has changed. Our neighbors have changed, been corrupted. And even we have changed in our consent of what's happening, in our lack of understanding what God's word says, not hearing it anymore, not studying it anymore. We have become silent and ignorant. And that's not derogatory, even though that's how it's used today. What does ignorance mean? Just not knowing, lack of knowledge. We are all ignorant of what Scripture says because we don't spend nearly enough time studying it. All around us today, sin is celebrated. We sacrifice our children to the abortion bale, literally laying the dismembered body parts of our babies on Planned Parenthood's sterile, stainless steel altars. Those we don't kill off, we offer to the LGBTQ Baal or the despot god of the state. We allow them to be educated by the Baals of our time, their prophets, in classrooms that have blocked out the reading of Scripture and have denied Christian prayer, replacing them with evolutionary scientism and the woke ideologies that promote genital mutilation, encourage illogical delusions, mental illness, and even foster now racial division. This is what our children are being taught. There is a new type of clergyman that has introduced a new type of church today. We call these false prophets celebrities, therapists, teachers, professors, politicians, even social media influencers. These are who teach our children and us what is good and right. And they speak with authority, ignoring God's word, which says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah 5:20. Isn't that exactly what's happening today across our world? Everything is upside down and backwards. We are living in this fairy tale land where everyone seems to have gone mad. It is so insane. Bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Good for evil and evil for good. Even in our sleepy little town, it's accurate to say that Christians have forsaken God's covenant and thrown down his altars. Now, many want to retain the name Christian, sure, but they have long since forsaken Christ's ways or even knowing what they are. Our sanctuaries are hardly full today, even though our bell towers remain erect as nothing more than a part of our tourist attraction, giving the illusion that we are a wholesome Christian town, the wholesome Christian town we once were. And it's the same across the country. Minus the beautiful Victorian village. Not everybody has that. We got that. But where are all the Christians? Where have they gone? This nation that claims, I think, 70% is what it's at now, depending on what survey you look at. 70% of the people claim to be Christian. Where are they? Are we all holed up in the caves of our homes with our curtains drawn, frightened to face the prophets of the Baals and their influential Jezebels? Have we all fled as cowards? Are we afraid that they'll come at us with mean words? My parents taught me that sticks and stones did damage, but not words. How's it go?
Sticks and stones would break your bones.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Christina. I knew somebody would interact with me. See, if I don't break it up every once in a while, I get into this like preachy tone. So I got to break it up so it's more conversational. We are afraid that they'll hurt us. That if we put our trust in God and we speak up, we'll draw their ire, their wrath. But what can they do to you, Christian? What can anyone do to you? What can Satan do to you? Nothing. No one can ruin your reputation, though they try. We know the truth. Maybe they'll turn public opinion against you. Are they going to dox you? Find out your social security number and leak it on the internet? Steal your identity? Call you a bigot, a homophobe, a hater, a colonizer, a racist, or a rapist? Tell you you're judgmental, so judgmental. Wagging their finger at you? Calling you ignorant? Will they blow kazoos in your face and wave colorful, beautiful flags at you that remind you of God's promise? So what? If they come at you with a sword, I say give them your neck. There is nothing to hide from. God fights for us. They can take your livelihood. They can steal your identity. They can take the food off your table, the clothing off your back. None of their assaults can ultimately hurt you. You have God on your side. Who is there to harm you, says Peter, if you are zealous for what is good? And so we repent of our sinful fear. And we believe in Christ Jesus because he's already defeated your worst enemies. He disarmed them on his cross where he conquered Satan and his demonic agents. Sin cannot hurt you. Death cannot claim you. The devil does not own you. Repent of cowering in your cave, trying to save your life your way. Repent and do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men, evangelists, Christians. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 5:10. We heard it this morning. Simon Peter, Jimmy, and Johnny responded to Jesus by leaving everything behind and following the Lord. They became soldiers of the cross, captains in the apostolic army, proclaiming the gospel to a sinful world, saving lives in the good battle, fighting the good fight, bringing people to the means of grace, to the word proclaimed that you are forgiven, to the baptism that gives you new birth, and the Lord's Supper that feeds you on your battlefield, that you can make your journey to the gates of heaven. Repent of trying to hold on to your life as you want it to be, and simply follow Jesus. Be bold in your confession of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Offer the word of God to your neighbors. Bring them to church. Share Christ's love with them, especially those who are filled with hate or who are confused and lost by the teachings of the prophets of Baal. They are catechizing us. They are educating us, and we don't even realize it. And know this, you are not alone in your faithfulness. Christ's crucifixion, his death and resurrection, is his promise to you and to me, to all of us, that he will sustain a remnant of faithful believers, just like he did for Elijah. He makes us zealous for what is good by showing us we're not alone, so that we can stand strong against the false gods of our day. There are others like you, Christian. There are many of them. Way more than 7,000 that Elijah had. You are not the only one who hasn't bowed the knee to Baal, who hasn't kissed the false gods. So now come. Christ's altar has not been thrown down here at St. Mark's. His covenant has not been forsaken by us. Let us rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that we and all the remnant cling to, trusting in Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king, our Savior, who was killed in our place that our sins would be absolved and we could live unafraid of man and of God who fights for us. Communion with the Lord and his remnant awaits. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.